The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are taking a look at some of the cards in the tarot deck that was released in Return to the Circle Undone. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these card reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We have wrapped up our review of the player cards in the Return to the Circle Undone. Of course, that the box comes with its own tarot deck, so Nate and I thought we would chat a little bit about the tarot cards in that deck. If you're interested in playing cards like Observed or the new Weakness Damned, you do have to use the tarot deck to determine which card you get. I believe there is also a way to perform tarot readings before scenarios, so the deck can come into play there as well. Rather than discuss all of the cards in the tarot deck, there are 22 of them, which would take a long time to go through each of them. We chose five cards that we figured would be sort of the best and the worst of the deck. Most of the tarot cards that have the best effects also have the worst effects. So I put together a little list of the sort of the five that I felt were the best and the worst. We're going to start off with the Chariot 7. The good effect is each investigator begins the game with two additional cards in their opening hand. The bad effect is that each investigator begins the game with two fewer cards in their opening hand, and you cannot draw cards during the first turn. So I went back and forth on this one with the Magician, which is basically the same except for resources. I sort of like the having the additional cards more than the additional resources, but I feel like having the reverse side of having fewer resources is worse off. So what do you think about these, Nate?
I think I would generally agree with that. Because you can mulligan your extra cards in your opening hand, that gives you a lot more chances to find the key cards in your deck. The first couple of turns are so geared towards setting up that having extra cards and enough resources to play those cards is great, but if you don't have the resources to play those cards, then your whole strategy sort of kind of starts stumbling, so to speak. So I would agree with that, Man from Lang. I think the Chariot's backside is probably a bit easier to deal with than the Magician's backside, but having the Chariot's additional two cards is going to be, I think, more beneficial than having a couple extra resources.
Yeah. And I mean, there are so many tarot cards that I'm trying to narrow it down to five. I mean, initially I had the Fool in this slot because it was, gaining those two extra experience points is pretty nice, especially if you're playing in solo. That's pretty nice. Losing two experience points, if you lose a scenario, well, you probably weren't earning any experience points anyway if you lost the scenario, so losing two more isn't really going to hurt you. There are a lot of the cards that have the you get plus one for a skill test or minus one for the first skill test, but you know, I feel pretty confident in my ability to pass skill tests whether I'm plus one or minus one, so I'm not overly concerned about those. I think a lot of the cards that I'm primarily concerned about drawing from the tarot deck are the ones that basically, how am I going to start this game? Am I going to be in good shape or bad shape? And so a lot of those cards on this list are reflect that. The second card to talk about is, of course, the Magician. The positive effect is each investigator begins the game with three additional resources. Or the reverse is each investigator begins the game with three fewer resources and you cannot gain resources during their first turn. Now, we did talk about this, talking about the Chariot. I think the bad side on this is slightly worse than losing the cards. You compare this to Indebted, which is the permanent weakness from the Dunwich Legacy. That was only two resources and you could play around it if you had you could play a cheeky emergency cash at the beginning of the game to get around the resource reduction. Losing three resources is pretty significant, and does put Guardians and Mystics in a pretty difficult situation, especially since they can't regain those resources until at least the next turn.
It also makes certain rogue investigators kind of awkward, like Preston, who can't move resources from his family inheritance into his resource pool because it technically counts as him gaining resources. So this also kind of hampers him as well. And when you combine the magician with indebted, then you start with nothing, and that's awful.
Yeah. And that would be the worst case scenario, I think, for sure.
Or even like the magician and having the devil in your opening hand, and then you're just screwed, you know, because then you can't play assets for essentially two turns, and it's just, you know, you're not going to get anywhere fast with that kind of a opening start.
You can't afford to give up that much tempo right at the beginning of the game, when it's really, you need to be at that point, you need to be getting ahead, not falling further behind. In the number three spot, I have the Hanged Man 12. Now, the positive effect on this one isn't one of my favorites. It is, during setup, each investigator may take up to two additional mulligans. That's okay, but I think this one earns this slot because of its negative side, which is each investigator cannot mulligan or replace weaknesses in their opening hand, resolve their revelation abilities when the game begins. Now, two additional mulligans does let you sort of curate your hand a little bit better, which is good, but man, oh man, turning every weakness in your deck into the devil in the tower and not being able to mulligan, this could lead to some very, very dangerous setups, especially if you have enemy weaknesses in your deck.
Oh, I didn't even think about enemy weaknesses. Yeah, that's nasty. Oh my goodness. Yeah, this card is brutal if you happen to draw it on the other side. Two extra mulligans, like you said, is nice, as it does allow you to find your key assets when you need to find them, but it also does give you extra chances of finding the devil or the tower if you're playing with those weaknesses in your deck. So it's something to be aware of when you're mulliganing with those cards in your deck. But man, turning every weakness in your deck into those types of cards is horrendously brutal. And especially, like you said, with enemy weaknesses that spawn right in the beginning of the game. Yikes. Yeah. Yikes.
And the fact, I mean, they're taking up slots of cards that you might use to kill those enemies, too. It's just like, oh, I drew my enemy and I didn't get the 45 automatic I need to kill them. And now I'm down to... I mean, I think worst case, you draw two weaknesses in your opening hand, and then you end up with an enemy or two enemies in front of you, and no way, you know, only three other cards to deal with them. That could be pretty nasty. I'd love to see this one at tables where, you know, there's so many, when you go to events, you know, people love to bring their souped up 45 experience point decks with, like, I don't know how many weaknesses you have to put in those to make them legal, but to have this sitting on the table with its reverse side up when you start the game with that. So it's like, I brought a 45 experience point deck. Great. And I have like six weaknesses floating around in there. If you happen to get the wrong hand, you could be in some deep trouble indeed.
Oh man, drawing an overzealous right at the beginning of the game. Oh boy.
Yeah. It's like, oh, and your two encounter cards up. Yeah, that would be like overzealous and like one of the enemy weaknesses. Not the guy, maybe the guy you could buy off, the mob enforcer, maybe the detective.
Upper detective.
It's like, oh, you get two encounter cards and your investigator is blank.
Or hooray. The acolyte that adds doom.
Yeah. Yeah, there are lots and lots of nasty combinations that the Hanged Man can bring about. So definitely, if you're playing Damned as your basic weakness, this is one you do not want to see in your opening as the tarot card that you draw from the deck.
Though it would be funny to see the Bell Tolls drawn and have this in play, and your investigator dies in the opening hand.
In the number two slot, I have Strength 8. The good side is when the game begins, each investigator may play an asset from their hand at -2 cost. The downside, during the first round of the game, each investigator cannot play assets. So I think you'd also mentioned in our discussions, Nate, the Lovers being another one that could fit here. Obviously, playing an asset at -2 before the game even begins is very, very powerful. Can really set you up in a great spot for the coming scenario. Not being able to play any assets, at least in solo, that could be a killer, especially if you get the wrong draws during the Mythos phase.
Yeah, that can be absolutely brutal. Just not being able to have a 45 automatic in play when you draw that enemy first Mythos phase, or being able to set up your Hawkeye folding camera and start, you know, getting clues and buffing up your willpower and your intellect respectively, that can be rough. But the bonus of this card is that you get a free action and it saves you 2 resources, which is just great. You know, that really helps you start those difficult scenarios, you know, running. So, you know, so I think this is a tarot card you're definitely going to want to see plenty of. Just hopefully it's on this side and not the bad side.
Yeah, exactly. And it's nice if you can get that ally down. The Lovers lets you grab an ally from your deck at the start of the game, which is nice, but you don't get to play it immediately. But at least you get to start with it in your hand. And I think you were saying before we started recording that there are a lot of decks that do have sort of an ally they want to see in play. So being able to search your deck for that ally at the beginning of the game and playing that ally is quite good.
Yeah, allies like Leo DeLuca or Olive McBride that are, you know, very key components to how those decks operate. You know, they're essential to get out early, and the Lovers can ensure that. But, you know, Strength, it's I think Strength is more generally useful, whereas there are decks that aren't reliant on a particular ally, but there are infinitely more decks that are reliant on getting a couple of assets in play. So
yeah, there are very few decks that are event only. Pretty much every deck plays at least a couple of assets, and being able to have one of those assets down on the table before you begin a scenario is very strong. That brings me to the number one tarot card I think I want to see, and that is the Sun. Good side, during each investigator's turn, they may take 2 additional actions. During the first turn, I should say. During each investigator's first turn, they may take 2 additional actions. Of course, the downside being the reverse of that. During each investigator's first turn, they have 2 fewer actions to take. I mean, action advantage is awesome. Having 2 actions, whatever you want to do, first turn of the game, it's a nice spot to be in. I went back and forth on this one with Strength, but I sort of decided, yeah, having 2 additional actions that you can do anything with is slightly better than having the asset you can play at -2.
Yeah, I would generally agree with that too, because you could always gain 2 resources, you could draw a card and gain a resource, you can move, investigate. There's a lot of things that this allows you to do in the first turn that can really set you off on the right foot. But man, oh man, is the reverse of this really brutal in a solo mode. Having only 1 action to play an asset at the beginning of the game can be really rough if you happen to not play the right asset at the right time.
Yeah, so often in solo, I mean, you want a weapon down first turn so you can deal with any enemies that you draw from the during the Mythos phase, or you're looking to sort of get your investigate engine online, and only being able to do one of those things is going to hurt your tempo immediately. I think the Hanged Man is potentially more diabolical in how bad it could get due to the various permutations, but losing 2 actions isn't much fun either. So what do you think of the tarot deck overall?
I think it's interesting. I haven't seen the additional rules and how you can implement it in your games, but I've heard that you can do readings at the beginning of each scenario, and we've reviewed the cards that interact with it, both the weakness and the card observed, that have interesting effects, but I think, you know, looking at the deck now, I don't know if I want to introduce that much variance into my games of Arkham that often, so I'm reluctant to say on how often I'd actually use the tarot deck.
Well, I will say that the art of the tarot deck is fantastic, and the artist did a tremendous job on all of the cards. They're very pretty to look at, but I think I'm in the same boat as you. I'm just not sure how often I will use them. Usually I just like to, you know, set up a game and go and play. The whole idea of, you know, doing a tarot reading before each scenario seems pretty slow, and I'm not too sure if the benefits or penalties, like you say, the variance is, as somebody who just likes to take as much variance out of the game as possible, adding in a whole bunch more is not particularly appealing. But I am glad it exists for more casual groups who just enjoy the flavor of the game. I think, tarot cards are a fixture of the occult, and certainly occultism has been, has a tradition in sort of the Lovecraftian stories, although I don't think there are any stories that deal with tarot cards themselves. Certainly many of Lovecraft's associates were involved. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.